Oh, what a special day today. I'm just going to give you a quick rundown of what's going to happen here in the remainder of the service. We're going to actually have the installation and anointing of Pastor Adam and Betty. I'll say just a few words leading up to that. We're going to bring them up and actually read a charge to them. And it's a similar charge that Bill and Ruth read to us 35 years ago. After that charge, we're actually going to ask the congregation to agree to support their new pastors and pray for them. And then we're going to have Adam and Betty here kneel at the altar as we anoint them and all of us pray for them. Adam is going to share a few words and Betty too in the midst of that. And Adam will be closing our service today and inviting you for some food and fellowship afterwards. But I just wanted to also say thank you to my family who came out today. If I can keep from tearing up, I'll be okay. You know, 35 years of ministry, yours many more years of ministry, and your family endures through that, through all of it, and I so appreciate my family coming today. I appreciate Adam and Betty, your family being here. What a special day it is, to have Marcus and Mallory and Priscilla and Braden and Faye Collette, who I hadn't seen for a while. Great to see her and Collette and Rob and Renee and Barb. My goodness, I haven't seen Barb for a while. Jeff, he's still so tall. My goodness, indeed. Yeah. Did Leroy and Sheila make it? Nope, indeed. And all the special friends that I know came up from Central Assembly today just to support Adam and Betty, I really appreciate that. It's a special day. It's an emotional day, I have to be honest. It's an emotional day for Kim and I. We are so excited for Pastor Adam and Betty, and we're excited for the future of this church, excited for all of you. As many of you know, I have many favorite scriptures, and so, you know, if I stand up and say, one of my favorite scriptures, you never know what I'm going to say because I have so many, but you probably remember that one of them is the fourth chapter of Ephesians, because it's really a passage about ministry, and it starts out in verse 1 that urges us to live a life worthy of the calling that we have received. So a calling is the particular ministry from the Lord that the Lord calls you into, which is indeed your God-given purpose and function in the body of Christ. That's what a calling is. And 35 years ago, I felt that calling to enter the ministry of preaching and teaching. And though I am retiring as the senior pastor of Acts Church, the calling doesn't change, does it? No, indeed. It's going to enter into a new and different season. And the same is true for Pastor Adam and Betty. Their calling is now entering into a new and different season as they step into the positions of senior pastors here at Acts Church. A position, by the way, that God began preparing them for many years ago. I know Betty's going to mention this, so I won't steal her thunder, but I was remembering the CLSD classes so many years ago that you two began when we offered them here. And if you'll tell this, we actually took the college campus to Central Assembly because Maryland would recognize the educational credits. And your pastor there, who's back again, graciously offered the church. It says in Ephesians 4 and 12 that God prepares us, equips us, and gifts us for our calling. And that purpose is so that the body of Christ may be built up as Christians within the body of Christ grow in their knowledge and love of Jesus. and in their unified faith and become mature, which means become like Jesus. The work of a pastor is all about that. Shepherding and helping and finding people that God gives them to speak into their lives and to minister to and to help them grow in that faith, knowing and loving Jesus more and more, becoming more and more like Him. You know, in 35 years, Kim and I have done a lot of things to try to accomplish just that. And now it's time for us to pass that mantle of pastoring of Acts to Adam and to Betty. I clearly remember a couple of months ago as I was studying God's Word and reading that account of Elijah on Mount Carmel, if you remember, in 1 Kings 19. Particularly what jumped out at me in that reading. You know how you read Scripture over and over again, but one time you'll read it and it'll just jump at you, just speak to you. It was there after Elijah had prayed and called down the fire of God from heaven, and God demonstrated that He was the one true God. He turned the hearts of the people back to Him. That after that, do you remember what happened after that? After Elijah rallied the people to get rid of all the false prophets of Baal. Well, what happened was Queen Jezebel found out and threatened Elijah's life. And I really don't believe that Elijah saw that going down. Yeah, he was a prophet of God, but even prophets of God can get blindsided. God doesn't always tell us everything, does He? He tells us the needed things. But there's Elijah, and now he's hoping that even Jezebel would recognize the mighty hand of God that came down on Mount Carmel. But no, her heart was so cold and wicked that she threatened his life. And Elijah ran for his life. He despaired even for his own. He thought that his purpose was done then. Life was over. But you know the story, right? The rest of the story, Paul Harvey? God had other plans. God always has plans for your life. No matter what stage of life you're in, He always has plans that are good for your life. Even when things aren't going like you thought they should, God still is working out His plan. I hope you don't find this in any way disrespectful, because it's not, but I look at God like a cosmic GPS. Well, you know what I mean by that. Like when we may feel like we're going off the beam, God is always recalculating. He's always recalculating, always, you know, redirecting and working all things together for the good of those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose. So in that story that jumped out at me, God revealed to Elijah that there were still some things to do, still things that God had him do to fulfill His calling of that time. And one of those things that God revealed to Elijah after he had traveled the 40 days and 40 nights, which, by the way, as you know in Scripture, that number is significant to a life change, to a change of ministry. If you remember that, the 40 years period or 40 days. Anyway, he goes to Mount Horeb, the mountain of God, and there he hears the still small voice of God. And one of the things that God told him that he still had to do was to anoint his successor. You remember? To anoint Elisha. And when I read that, I knew that God was going to provide for me a successor for Acts Church, and that I was to remain, Kim and I were to remain until that person, that couple were found, and that we were to anoint them pastor of Acts. Amen? God has provided. And today we make it official. But before we conduct the installation service, which, as I mentioned, is going to be that charge to Adam and Betty and charge to you, I'd like Pastor Adam and Betty to come and share briefly with you kind of their confirmation story of how they see God's hand just bringing them here to Acts. So, Adam, please.
Thanks, Pastor John. Well, thank you all for being here, friends and family. And, Betty and I don't want to go any further without recognizing Pastor John and Pastor Kim. Mm. 35 years is a long time. Mm. So they were in their late 20s, I guess,
yeah.
When they started this. Can you imagine 35 years having a church and, oh my gosh, the sacrifice. You mentioned your kids here and stuff. The sacrifices that they made to continually serve a church body and, you know, it's a lot. It's a lot of work, you know, serving a body, being pastors. And you guys have been blessed for 35 years with such an incredible, incredible couple. I mean, faithful to one another in marriage, faithful to the church, just a superb, superb couple. So we just have a real small token for Pastor John and Pastor Kim here this morning. And so Betty's going to give you guys that. And we're going to celebrate them next month. Let me get in here, get settled down just a tad, and we're going to do something really special. We wanted to do something for Pastor That's John and Pastor Kim. Yeah, give it up for them, you know, this morning.
Just, thank you, guys.
Absolutely.
I'm not giving up my chocolates, though. So you
just leave some really big shoes. You're welcome. Really big shoes to fill, and I'm just going to take a few moments to talk kind of about the full circle. And the other recognition we want to do is to Pastor Bill and Ruth Deffenbaugh, who started this whole thing, right? So Betty has a little token of appreciation for Pastor Bill and Ruth there as well, that we want to represent them this morning and thank them. So. This goes all the way back many, many years to. So give it up for Pastor Bill and Ruth. So if I can tell you a little story, in 1953, when, and I may say Grandpa, which is Betty's grandparents, you know, was a young man, 18 years old, just out of high school. He traveled from the Toledo, Ohio area into the Detroit area to attend Bethesda Bible Institute. And that's where he met his wonderful bride, Ruth Maurer, who he always says got better grades than me. And she did, because we recently saw one of the report cards, and she got better grades than me, he always says. And so they met there, and shortly after that got married, and ordained ministers through the Bible school. And Grandpa, an engineer, he had a large architectural firm. He has patents through the auto manufacturers in Detroit. In fact, at one point when you go to Detroit Metro Airport, they were on display there that you could see. And so God kept poking at him, though. And I've been using the word prompting or nudging them to Bedford County. And so finally, after many visits, they made a huge move to Bedford County. And when they moved to Bedford County, you know, they started to make friends. And next thing they made friends, they were coming over to the house for Bible studies. The Bible study got too big. They needed to find a building. So the architectural engineer that he is found like an old building that used to be a chicken coop and turned it into a church. And so, you know, that's Bedford County Christian Church. That's right up the road here that they did and that they served there for all these years in 1979, starting as they moved here. And then around 1987, if I do my math right, 88, 87, this wonderful young couple comes in their late 20s, and they got ordained and ministered, licensed under the same umbrella, if you will, as Betty and I are today. That they're ordained and licensed under, and then you guys know the history here probably better than I do, but going over to the old Bedford Village and transitioning over here. And, you know, I want to pause, though, and recognize the guys have a picture back there, if they can bring up on the screen, the power of God. You know, in Revelations chapter 12, it says that there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels. And I love this. The dragon lost. And he and his angels were forced out of heaven. And it says that there was a triumphant voice in heaven proclaiming. That's the same triumphant voice you're going to hear when the trumpet blows and Jesus returns. That's the triumphant voice. It's God's voice as he comes back. It says that there's a heard a triumphant voice in heaven proclaiming that they conquered him completely. That which was conquered was the devil, was Satan, was all lying, all slander, all adversity was conquered. How was this conquered? Through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we overcome today because of the blood of Jesus Christ in our testimony. And this that you're being a part of today is an absolute amazing testimony. And let me just share one little piece of testimony with you. This picture here, I think, is dated 1886. And this is the Deaf and Ball Tavern that's just up here on your left, okay? That was Grandpa's fifth great-grandfather's tavern. You see, when Grandpa was around 5 years old, his dad came home from work, the tavern, beat his mother so hard that his dad thought he killed his mother. And little Billy went over and beat on his dad's chest and said, "Don't kill my mommy. Don't you kill my mommy." And that rattled his father so bad that his father gave his heart to Jesus and transformed his life. In all these generations of tavern owners, you see, Billy got so pumped up for Jesus. When he was in middle school and high school, he carried his big Bible to church. And he got bullied so bad that he took boxing lessons to defend himself. Yeah, he's a boxer. Because he had to defend himself because he stood up for Jesus because of the blood, what the blood of Jesus did in his life, how it transformed him. And you see, we read in Exodus where, remember, Moses got mad and he busted the first copy of the Ten Commandments. And God's like, "All right, Moses, that's fine. Well, you need to go find two more rocks. Meet me on the mountain because now you're going to inscribe and chisel out the new set. Can't photocopy them for you. Can't text them to you. You got to go do it yourself." So he did that, right? And it says that the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with Moses, and he called out his own name. "Moses, Yahweh," God said. The Lord passed in front of Moses, calling out, "Yahweh the Lord." It says, "the God of compassion and mercy." We serve such a great God, so full of compassion, so full of love, so full of mercy. God is slow to become angry. He is filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. It says, I lavish in extravagant quantities of unfailing love. He gives this to thousands of generations, forgiving the iniquity, the rebellion, and the sin in your family's lives and in the generations to come. You see, being a fifth generation tavern owner and that iniquity being broken in his family's lineage, from being a tavern owner to now having a church just on the east side of the tavern. And then when you guys moved from the Old Bedford Village church to here, they were like super nervous. Oh my gosh, like competitive. Right? That we don't want to do this. And they were like, "Oh, no, please come, please come. We celebrate with you." And I see that today as that tavern sits right up here. And now there is a church on the east side of that tavern and on the west side of that tavern. How far does God remove your sins from you? Isn't that beautiful testimony, what God can do? It's beautiful. He removes your sins as far as the east is from the west. And you know, Grandpa, being an architectural engineer, he had a lot to do with the reconstructing of the Bedford Springs, okay? And so if you ever go to the Bedford Springs, you watch one of their videos, he will be on that video talking all about the Bedford Springs. So in that, the Bedford Springs said, "Well, we want to rename one of our rooms. If you go down and eat a good hamburger in the tavern, okay, go up to the bathrooms, one of those rooms up there called the Deaf and Ball Table." Well, see, what initially they wanted to do, they said, "Hey, Bill Deffenbaugh, we want to honor you, and so we're going to name a room hereafter, somehow after you, and so we're going to call it the Deffenbaugh Tavern." And they said, "Oh, They felt the blood. They felt the transition that had taken place from all those generations that said, you're a reverend, you're a pastor, you have Jesus inside of you. We can feel that. We recognize that. We're not going to call it a tavern. Can we call it the Decapol table? Do you see how the power of the blood of Jesus, I mean, transforms? Like, honestly and sincerely, like, it'd be cooler if it was the Decapol tavern room, right? In the tavern of the Bedford Springs. But they honored that because of the power and the blood of Jesus, the unleashing, the lavishing, unfailing love to thousands of generations, wiping out that iniquity, the rebellion and the sin from that generation, like a secular business, like they changed it to respect God through an individual. It's so beautiful. It's such a beautiful, beautiful story. Betty wanted to come this morning and share a couple things as well. How, you know, we just feel this is full circle. You see, God started prompting me 6-9 months ago, not just me, but my wife and my children about, something, you know, just back to Bedford, back to Bedford. Because, you know, I served 6 years as an executive pastor in a church about 30 miles south of here. And so God was dealing with me on that. And at the same time, the Holy Spirit impressed on Pastor John, call Adam and just tell him what's going on. And when John told me that, I'm like, wow. And when I told him, when I was, you know, the Holy Spirit was prompting me, he said, wow. And so we connected, and here we are today. It's like a full circle of the beauty of the hand of God, because Betty is the oldest grandchild of Bill and Ruth Decapol. Isn't that something? So it's just so many things. We could talk all day how, and she could go back and tell you how she even got here from Germany, and just, oh my gosh, we could talk all day how the hand of God has been on this all these years. And this isn't just for us today. What's in this for you? And we were just talking, my family, my siblings are in town at my house last night, and we were talking, and we called out an iniquity in our family. I said, man, this kind of has to stop in our line, because all of us can say, yeah, we do this, and this probably isn't really right. And so, like, I'm not, like, throwing iniquity on y'all or sin or rebellion, but there's things in our lives that we can call out as believers and unleash the blessings of thousands of generations upon us, and that can change in your generation today, now.
So we're going to make a really long story, as short as we can, to be respectful of everybody's time. But, you know, going back to what he was saying, is I'm the oldest grandchild. I'm probably the least of the grandchildren and from the least of the siblings that you would expect to be up here with a pastor. You know, my mother, just briefly will say, you know, she was the wild child of the siblings. You know, she was the one the least likely to be considered the pastor. Forgive me, sorry. But, you know, that was what the family always joked about that. And, you know, and honestly, out of all the grandchildren, I was the one who was conceived out of wedlock. You know, and that would be the least of these. So the good thing out of that, take this to heart, that he will use the least of these to be the greatest for the kingdom of God. Amen. And so when, and the other little tip that you can grab a hold of is when you get married, you become one. So we are one, and it's through that lineage that we are now one, and our children can be part of this too. And we can break those iniquities, and we can start something new through the kingdom of God, through the ministry. And there's so much that you can impart on your kids from the time they're little till now. And it's a continual thing. You got to crucify the cross every day. You know, it's a continual process. It's not something that starts today and you let it go. You've got to feed it. You've got to let it grow, just like you would a plant. To go back to our connection with Pastors John and Kim, it was through them that we were able to become educated in it. You know, Adam, he doesn't say a whole lot about it, but he has a double master's. He has a master's in theology and a master's in divinity. And then I have a master's in theology. And it was not something that we got, when we got married, we wanted to do or pursue. But Pastors John and Pastor Kim had gone to my grandparents when they had the church and wanted to utilize their facility to start a school and to do this distance learning. And we were young married couple. When I say young, we were maybe a couple months into this. And we just wanted to know more about Jesus. So we started with them in the church. And like they said, you know, it went from that church till Pennsylvania changed their rules. And we had to go find another church facility to facilitate it. And that's when it was brought up about Cumberland Central Assembly, which is where Adam originally went to as a teenager. we were, you know, we had no idea what God's plan was. Adam's like, I'll call the pastor, see who it is. It was Pastor Seaman, not knowing that 15 years later, we would be with Pastor Seaman, because Pastor Seaman would be, he had left the church because he felt a call to go start evangelizing around the world. And then he came back to Central. At the same time, we were there, and he got to be under his leadership for 6 years, which groomed him to be who he is today, to be the minister that he is. And through just trying to learn about Jesus, all these great things came about where we were able to get the education. And I know, Kim, I think you have your master's as well, and so on. But it's a blessing, and it's another witness of your life as a masterpiece. You know, it's a perfect picture, and in the end, we're going to see what that picture is. But each little step, and unfortunately, the older you get, the more you can look back and say, the Lord's hand was there. But you're starting to get glimpses of that picture of what your masterpiece is going to be. And we want it to be a masterpiece versus the alternative, which is the destruction. So, and something I did at Central, which, like Adam said, you know, we've had a calling or there's been a stirring in our hearts for something more, to do more for the kingdom. And there is a song, it's a fairly new song out, and the Lord just presses on me that it was a blessing for Central, but I feel it's a blessing for us here at this church. So I'm just going to read the verses to you. Not the whole song, but just different verses. And I'm going to believe this is a prayer unto the church. And I believe that we can grasp, each of you can grasp a hold of it. And it says, I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, because I know there is a peace within your presence, and we speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break in every one of our families, declaring there is hope and that there is freedom in his name. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety, to every soul that's held captive by depression. We want to speak Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountaintops, from the mountain of Carmel, and Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for our families, and speak the holy name of Jesus. Your name means power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows and burn like a fire in each and every one of us. Just speak Jesus and speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, because I know there is peace within his presence. I speak Jesus to all of you today.
There's a couple of scriptures that I'll read before the charge. This one is Acts chapter 20 and verse 28 that says, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you pastors. Be shepherds, which is what the word pastor in the scriptures means, poimen. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. The scriptures say that the elders who direct the affairs of the church are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. And again, in Peter, it says that be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing. Weekend, we spent 4 days with my littlest grandson in Nashville, Tennessee. And I loved it, but he gave me a cold. And that's what you're hearing here today, the result of that. It is getting better. It's almost gone, but apparently it's deciding to come back a little bit there. This is the charge that we are going to present to Adam and Betty. And so, as we do, I'd like them to come forward and remember that after their charge and their agreement, that I'm going to ask you some things. But Kim, would you come up here with me? Would you stand over by Betty for me? And I want everyone to hear these words that Adam and Betty are agreeing to today based upon the scriptures. The first is that the question, will you commit to lead by example in your own home, demonstrating the things of God to your family according to scripture by word and deed, loving them and not neglecting them even for the work of the ministry? Where's this? Did you hear that? Just so you, okay. Now, will you commit to lead this church by being a personal example to this congregation for the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ?
I do.
Will you commit to faithfully preach the whole counsel of God's inerrant word in season and out, without apology, without compromise, not shrinking to declare the whole counsel of God? Will you determine to come to this congregation in demonstration of the Spirit and power of God, and that God might get all the glory? Will you commit to loving this burly and surly congregation? Will you commit to pray fervently for them, for they know that Christ has purchased them with His own blood and has given you the responsibility to shepherd this church? Will you do everything in your power to shepherd this flock and even protect them from false teaching and false teachers? Amen. Now, I want Adam and Betty just to look to you, and I want to ask the congregation just a few questions. Congregation, will you commit to love your pastor, to pray for them, rather than complain, but to honor as one who labors in the Word of God for the good of your soul? And will you recognize them as the shepherds God has given you? Amen. Will you honor your pastor and follow them as they follow Christ, honoring them as Christ's under-shepherds, ordained by God to watch over your souls? And will you let them do this with joy? Amen. And will you lay aside your personal preferences in order to strive for the unity of the church, desiring with all your heart to build up the body? Amen. 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 So at this time, Adam and Betty, would you kneel here at the altar? And I'm going to ask the congregation to join in this way. I would like you to... would you stand with us? And would you just raise your hand in anointing and prayer for Adam and Betty? Almighty Father, I anoint your servant in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. God, let the power of your Spirit, Lord, rest upon him as a mantle. And Lord, by your Spirit, Lord, would you empower him, God, to fulfill every responsibility of his calling? Would you, O God, anoint him with the joy of his salvation and with the joy of the calling that he has graciously received and accepted unto you? Father, would you protect him and his family, even as he, Lord God, pledges his life to protect his family? You are their ultimate protector. So God, be over them, watch over them, guard them, keep them in your loving care, and enable Adam to fulfill all that you have called him to, and receive unto you that blessing of knowing you are preparing him as the servant of God. We pray in Jesus' name.
Father, I anoint Betty in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, that Lord, which you have called her to do on this day and from here on forward, Lord God, that you would just make the plan that you have for her as the helpmate of Adam and also as an assistant pastor to this church, Lord God, that you would give her wisdom and revelation, that you would lead and guide her to be to be the leader of this church, to minister, Lord God, to the women that come in here hurting, Father, that she would be a voice to the hurt and to the lost, and that, Lord God, as she speaks, that they would be set free, Lord, from addictions, from past hurts, from deep wounds, Lord God, that you would just give her the spirit of revelation as she would minister, Father. I pray, Lord God, for the strength of this couple, that which you have called her to walk beside her husband, Lord, that she would be able to speak into his life and help and lead him as they lead together, Father.
Yes.
That you would give her the anointing, Lord God, that the mate of this pastor, Lord God, has been called to do.
Yes.
Father, I just pray, Lord God, for you to protect her, to protect her heart from any hurt
yes,
that would come her way, Lord. I pray, Father, as she is the mother of her children, that she could lead and guide them and that they would follow her leading and guiding,
yes.
That her example, oh God, would be a strong example of what it means to be a servant as a woman in the kingdom of God. Father, I just pray that you protect her, that you lead her and guide her, and we just ask, Lord God, for your blessing upon this family, upon the children, upon the grandchildren and all those that are to come to follow behind, Lord God, that they too would have the same anointing that you have placed upon this couple,
yes.
That they also would be anointed to follow through with the ministry that their parents have started. We thank you, Lord, for this generation that has continued to walk in faithfulness. And Lord God, we look forward to see what these two do together as a couple to lead people further into your kingdom. Father, bring the people into this church that you have called to be here.
Yes, Lord.
Father, bring the people into this place of salvation, that they would find your presence, that they would find their healing, that they would find their deliverance and their salvation through these two. Lord, we look forward to hearing the testimony
yes.
That comes because of this day,
yes.
At this time, for such a time as this, you
yes.
Have called these two to this place.
Thank
we
you.
Are very grateful, and we look forward to the kingdom of God being built. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you for what you're going to do. In the name of Jesus, amen.
And everyone said, amen. Welcome your new pastors, Pastor Adam and Betty Everly. God bless you.
I guess I just could have spoken loudly, but so we thank you very much. You may be seated. Thank you. Betty, you can, okay. You want to say something else? No? Okay. We're super excited. We're very honored to be here to serve as your lead pastors. You know, we can't do this alone. It takes a community, a church, as we all work together. And, you know, I really believe in the day that we're in for the harvest that's going to be reaped. And this day is because the greatness of the harvest, the multitude of the harvest that's going to be reaped is not just because of the pastors. It's going to be because everyone in the church is all doing it. And that's going to bring the multiplication and the greater harvest by us all working together. So we're just super honored and thrilled to be here, to love you guys, to worship with you, and we're just thrilled. So a couple closing remarks or things is I'm going to start a series next week called What Jesus Did. Okay, it's kind of like, yo, what Jesus did, all right, kind of with a fist bump at the end of it. So it's what Jesus did. We're going to look at parables. We're going to look at things that Jesus did in the Bible and make them applicable to us today, how we can take them in our lives and allow them to be used to build the kingdom and to reach those around us, okay? And then Wednesday night, we're going to continue our study at 7 o'clock on the tests of faith. We only got 20 minutes of the video knocked out, and so you didn't miss much. I mean, you can still come in Wednesday night at 7 and join us. We had a great crowd come out, and he's just a fantastic teacher, Bruce Wilkinson. So please come join us then. And then immediately following, don't run off. You know, we have finger foods, like right behind that clock, the wall, there's a door. There's tons of finger foods over there. Please come over and celebrate with us with joining you guys. We're just super, super thrilled and honored to be here today. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this day of celebration, Father, this day that we gather together in your name, to honor you, to worship you, to build your kingdom. Father, we thank you for the years of service and ministry through Pastor John and Pastor Kim of 35 years, Lord. We thank you. We worship you, Father, for the great works that's taken place through their lives and through their ministry. Father, go all the way back to Pastors Bill and Pastor Ruth Defebaugh, Lord, that how this all branched out to them. And Lord, we can't hardly deny it's a full circle and blessing of stamp of your hand for us to be here and to continue this great work. But Father, I just pray for each and every one here this morning that there is hope, that there is life and there's liberty. Father, that there's household salvation for each and every one. Friends and family, salvation and life to be shared and to join in this great hope and faith that we have in Jesus Christ. So, Father, I just pray a blessing upon each and every person here this morning. Father, may you bless them and keep them. May your face and your favor shine upon them, Father. We do all these things, the glorification and the building of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, we honor you, we worship you. Amen. God bless you all.